When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Yo, son. One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd. It's primal.
And as a raw Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And
welcome to the show. What's going on? In a 2000s R&B mood?
Rap. Say. Her. Sipe, do you realize that the dream had that one sound, that crowd sound that he loves and uses it on fucking everything? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Hold on, let's see what's on here. Hold on. Remember when we had him on Juanette back in the day?
No, I remember meeting him.
By the way, the answer is, of course, no, he does not remember.
Wait, no, I don't remember. Was he on Juanette?
Say it again.
Was he on Juanette?
He was on Juanette. Look that up, Billy. Pretty sure we had the dream.
First of all, all right, why are you coming at me? First of all, we interviewed radio guests, Juanette guests, everybody in the same room, so it all mushes together.
It does. Oh, here I think it's in here. Here's.
Sugar, honey, iced tea. Prettiest one I see. Little mama, I see.
2013. He was on Juanette.
When was it?
2013.
Clean up very nicely. Shoes are kind of pricey. Match them up precisely. Good jean, nice tea. Like a food spicy. And she is the same. Hotter than a flame. But I do not know her name. Is it Keisha? Keisha. Is it Tisha? Tisha. Maybe Lisa.
There it is. That was it. We're hearing
it. It could be Tia.
Hey!
I guess I find out one day for now.
What'd you say?
That's not a crowd sound.
It's just an A. You're right. It's not a crowd. I was confused in my head. But he used it on a lot of records. That A is like a big thing for him.
Yeah.
He's fucking good, man.
What's happening right now?
Well, I was just listening to him today. Natalie loves The Dream, so we were listening to him, and I was like, man, he's fucking
good. Oh, I see.
You see what's going on here.
Wait, before we even, hold on 1 second.
Uh-oh. Hold on, guys. Something's going on here.
Okay. All right. Big shout out. Okay. Big, big, big shout out to the Gucci girls.
Okay.
You hear me?
Okay.
The other day I did an event out Gucci in Brooklyn girls. And two beautiful black women approached me, and they both had on these big ass Gucci hats. Mm-hmm. And they were the Gucci girls, and they said they were a fan of Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg.
Wow.
They were fans of the Juan Epp podcast. Shout out to Shayna and Shanae, something like that.
You just tried to give them a shout out and then butchered the fuck out of their name?
I told them I would butcher their names. I said, I'm going to fuck this up. I should have recorded myself saying their name so I would have had it, the audio. But they were very dope. Thank you for
the support. Shout out to the Gucci girls.
Shout out to the Gucci girls, man. They were not your typical looking Juan Epp fans. You know what I mean? Oh, shit. That reminds me.
Here we go.
What was the other guy? What was the guy? Juan Epp fan came to my comedy show. A guy from London, Indian cat from London. Him and his new bride. They were on their honeymoon. Their honeymoon was coming to New York City and going around to all different hip hop places.
Like landmarks?
Like landmarks, that's the word I was looking for. Hip hop landmarks. So they went to Brooklyn. They saw Biggie's house. They went to Staten Island just to see some woo shit.
Wow. And this was someone else. Cool. This isn't the Gucci girls.
No, this is different. This guy was more of a typical Juan Epp fan.
Now,
dragged his girl to New York to go to hip hop shit.
By the way, that's a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
When they're down, I got to tell you, so often you find we're so warped in our society to believe that our partners aren't supposed to like the things that we're into. Isn't that the way everyone acts like it should be all the time? I know I know your girl hates when you watch sports must hate wrestling.
Right.
It's funny. And it's so built into me that it's taken me getting used to the fact that Natalie's into collecting. When I go to throw away a shirt, I tried to give away a shirt the other day.
Yeah.
And I pulled it out and she was like, no, I'll try it on real quick. And I was like, okay, I tried it. She was like, you can't get rid of that. That fits perfect. What are you talking about? You got to keep that. I was like, I have to think, wait, is this a bad woman? What's wrong with her? Why would she say to keep something? I thought you were supposed to just go throw it away.
No, you need that.
But
Adem is the guy's name. Adem and his girl, or his wife, his new wife, congratulations, Harbs. Her name is Harbs.
Yo, his name's Adem. That's crazy. Sif, I just watched a new show I'd never seen before called Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah, that was him.
and there's a guy who's like, yeah, my name is Adam, but I prefer Adam.
Oh, no, but that's Adam. This is Adem.
His name's actually Adam. But yo, I got to tell you though, Love on the Spectrum, Sif.
I saw the first two episodes. It's too much.
It's too emotional?
It's too emotional.
Sif.
It's too emotional.
Sif, listen, I know it means nothing to our audience to hear that I cried. Like I said it to my dad. My dad sent a crying emoji to me and said, oh, you don't say. But when I tell you I cried at the end of this season, when they told you the couples that made it, when you see the family's joy at people finding love, man, it's just amazing too, because it's really funny. We have a view naturally to sort of pity the autistic, right? And be sad for them in some way. It's natural. If you're a good person, I think it's natural to want to be protective, or the innocence can make you feel emotional immediately. But honestly, they should feel sorry for us. Yo, I was watching the show. These people on the show, They say some wild things, which is what makes the show so entertaining, is the fact that there's no filter, right? But, like, they also seem to have a fundamental grasp on enjoying life that the quote-unquote, I don't want to use the word, I don't even know what the quote-unquote word would be, but that those of us who are not on the spectrum, I feel sorry for us.
Yeah, they definitely got some, I mean, I don't even want to say they got something figured out. I think we as non-spectrumites.
That's not the term, but go ahead.
Non-spectrals. I think there's some, like you say, there's no filter. I think filters work both ways where we're getting too much shit filtered.
Yep.
Society, social norms, and so all that kind of stuff, like that's filters. So then we get anxious.
No, you know what it is? It's a bullshit filter. It's
yeah, we get anxious about how we're supposed to be and who's gonna see us and what do we do. And those people, they seem to be like, blah. I'm like, yeah, straight up. Tell me straight up.
Yo, there's a part in one episode, my man says he's this Indian dude. And like the show varies. People are on, you know, varying levels of the spectrum, like yeah. For sure. Like some people you could immediately know are autistic, and others you might not know until they say it in, you know, conversation, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's this one dude, and his mom is giving a speech at his birthday, and in the middle of her talking, he goes, "Mom, are you going to be done talking soon?" No, he cuts her off to say that. It's, "Mom, when are you going to be finished talking?" The show is beautiful and touching, and I loved it. And I wonder, I'm curious if we have any, you know, listeners with autism who have watched it, I'd be very curious to know how people in the community feel. Like, is it loved? Do you feel like people are like laughing at you or do you like
exploitation?
Like, is it exploitative? Exactly. I'm curious. 'Cause on the surface, me, ignoramus that I am, I was just like, I love this show. This is it's both entertaining, it's funny, it's warm, it's loving, it gives you an appreciation of people, not just the kids in it, their parents, the amount of joy they all managed to share. It's lovely, very lovely. Saif, I also saw Top Gun Maverick yesterday.
How was it? I heard it's good.
It was good. I am confused by the amount of people saying that it was fucking amazing.
Okay.
I'm confused. Like, me and my friend Judd both came away with like, yo, it was really fun. That was a fun ass movie. It was if you were gonna spend the money and you want to go down memory lane with Tom Cruise and Ed Harris and all that shit.
Action, there's action.
Oh, the action's crazy.
Okay, great.
Boom. All good.
So are you? A lot of people are saying that it's amazing. You think they don't know what the first one is? Because I know a bunch of people that don't even know what the first one is.
I think, no. The people saying it's amazing are of the age that they definitely have seen the first one and they wanted to see the second one.
Okay.
I just, like, I can't, I'm just trying to understand, like, it's so intentionally almost cheesy that I just don't know how you walk out being like, that incredible.
Because you know what's also cheesy? The Karate Kid show.
Yes.
Cobra Kai.
And everyone loves it. And I love it. I love Cobra Kai.
Everyone loves it.
Yeah.
I watched the first season. I was like, I didn't love it.
No,
it's fine.
It's because, Saif, that show is great when you don't have expectations and you throw it on. You're like, yo, this is fun, man.
Yeah, it's just a cool, funny show like any other show I watch.
When people try to hit you with the yo, you gotta watch Cobra Kai, that now you're changing my expectation. Bro, Tom Cruise,
what is it that
is it's uncomfortable, Saif. He's 59, okay? His face looks 24. His face looks 24 years old.
Yeah, he figured it out.
There's a beach scene, a beach football scene, where your man is shirtless. You know he insisted on this scene. He's shirtless with all the young actors. He has as good a body as anyone in it. He's 59. The whole thing feels... Jennifer Connelly is in it.
Ooh, Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, Saif, you're going to... Saif.
Oh, I got to go watch this.
No, Jennifer Connelly, I looked it up, is 51, okay? She looks
always been one of my faves.
She looks 40, like a great 40.
40?
Yes.
That bitch looks 48.
No, I'm being honest. She's a hot 40. And I respect a hot 40. Like, there's plenty of hot 40 out here, okay? She's a hot 40. She's really 51. Tom Cruise is 59. And I swear to you, he's a hot 32. It doesn't make sense. Like,
they have a staff of people that keep them like that, bro. Like, when I used to run around with J-Lo a little bit, there's a staff.
By the way, J-Lo's different, though, because J-Lo looks incredible, but J-Lo also can look real. She can look like she's aging. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't look aged at all. She certainly doesn't look her age.
I know what you're saying. You're saying she it doesn't in a horrible way.
I'm saying in a horrible way?
You're saying in a horrible way that she would not like, but I know what you're saying.
She wouldn't like it. She'd be like, I want people to think I look like a plastic puppet. But she doesn't. She looks like just a really attractive, mortal human being, which I want. That's what I like.
Wait, you mean like no surgery and stuff like that?
She doesn't look surgeried out to me at all.
Right. No, I don't think she is.
Like, I mean, obviously she makes herself up for the Super Bowl, et cetera. She looks fucking crazy, of course. And her body's still tremendous. She's in incredible shape. I'm just saying she's managed to keep... What?
Don't say tremendous. A woman's body?
That's bad?
It sounds bad.
She's in fantastic shape.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Is that better?
Tremendous sounds.
What, like big?
Yeah, it sounds big.
Shouts to J-Lo. But the movie is fun. The movie is fun. The Val Kilmer part's a little depressing. You know, Val Kilmer is like sick in real life, right?
No, I didn't know that.
There's a documentary about him that came out like a year ago.
Oh, I didn't realize that documentary was about him being sick.
It is. Yes.
Oh, what's wrong with him?
I think he can like barely communicate anymore.
Oh, fuck, man. One of those.
So they have him in the movie and he barely communicates.
At least he did it.
But he did it.
He's Iceman in the movie.
Yes, he's Iceman. He's in it. You know.
Man, I fucking love Top Gun, man. It's one of my faves.
Yo, but no, so listen to this, Sife. Did you know this fucking stat about Top Gun?
Go on.
Obviously, you know, of all people, you know the level of Navy propaganda it is. Right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
When it came out in 1986, the next year, Navy enrollment went up.
Oh, really?
500%.
Wow.
So, and by the way, it's going to happen again because this is going to be a smash too. It's going to happen again. And
are you saying it's an intentional?
I don't know. I don't know what the politics.
Like, you think the Navy paid for Top Gun?
I don't know. But I want to know the most typical of the times bullshit in this movie. The most typical of we don't want to take a stance on anything because we're scared of how it would look.
Yeah.
They never tell you who the bad guys are in the movie.
Oh, really?
It's a generic country.
I hate that.
What the fuck?
Did they say the name?
Never. Sife, they have some weird logo. It's not even a flag. You don't even know if they're fighting humans.
Ah, that's whack. That's whack.
No, we can't come out. We can't be China. Can't be Russia. Can't be this one. We don't want to piss off.
Russia's the one, man.
Russia's the one.
Cold War.
Now, my friend, I think Judd said he didn't think they'd do Russia because it wouldn't play well in China.
Oh my God.
And they want to do well. You know, movies like Top Gun are not made just to do well here. They need to make their money everywhere.
Yeah.
That's where they're going for it. You know, it's like laugh tracks. It's like Laugh Mob's laugh tracks. You're not worried about the U.S. play. How's it going to do in Beijing?
I'm killing it in the Mongolian province.
The streaming numbers. That shit's like what was the show last year with the Korean show?
Oh, Squid Games.
Yo, Laugh Mob's laugh tracks is like Squid Games in the Mongolian province. That's all anyone fucking watches.
Yo, sidebar, or not sidebar, next bar. Did you see Ricky Gervais' special?
I started the Ricky Gervais
special. Oh, so good, man.
How is he getting attacked or not?
Yeah, there's some trans stuff going at him.
He seems to have an... he's been doing this for a long time. This button pushing has been his thing for a minute.
No, it's the thing.
What thing?
It's his whole thing.
Yeah, it's always... Button pushing's always been his thing.
Okay, but let me tell you something. Button pushing sounds like it's forced, kind of. I mean, he is pushing buttons, but also he makes great points. He backs up his points. Now, I don't give a fuck about any of that. I just want to laugh. I laugh at everything and anything. I don't believe there's some things you can't joke about if the joke is good. No, sorry. That makes no sense. I don't believe there's anything you can't joke about. Some jokes are bad. Some jokes are good.
There you go.
He always like takes the things that I agree with him in certain things and some things I don't, but it's still funny. You know what I mean?
I agree. Listen, I didn't watch the whole thing. So let me not, I'm not co-signing the whole special, but like, you know, from what I saw, like he does this whole part, the part about punching down.
Yeah.
And he's like a disabled, like punching down. Like if I was to punch down, he's like, that's the only thing I can do. How else can I punch down on a disabled toddler? I have to punch down or I'd miss it. And then he's like, see, he was like, do you see that joke? It's because I'm playing on the idea of punching down and punching a disabled toddler because there's nothing funny. He was like, it's funny for me to say that. If I were to come out here and actually punch a disabled toddler, you wouldn't be laughing. He's like, and that's why I took that bit out. But listen, maybe I'll watch the whole thing and I won't, and I'll be offended by it. I thought the way he did it seemed Dave's shit. Listen, I'm sure there's other things. Dave's a Black American. Gervais is a white British guy. They have different histories leading them up to this point. But I think where I ended up not loving Dave's shit on it was I felt he got sort of out of his funny bag when he did it somewhat. And a lot of it was more talking seriously about an issue. Like, that's how it hit me and why I was sort of... By the way, now people are getting angry. Oh, here they go. They're talking about Chappelle and trans shit again. I don't know if you guys know this. Cypher sounds very close with Dave Chappelle.
Love Dave Chappelle. Well, actually, I'm going to excommunicate him.
What do you mean?
I'm going to cut him off. I'm done.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm going to go 12 years underground and come back. Maybe I'll give him another chance. You know what I mean?
You mean like what he did with everyone else? You're going to disappear and then maybe you come back.
Yeah, I don't know. Ricky Gervais, I like his comedy a lot, man. His lifestyle. I like his comedy. I like the way he's... I love the way he stands for what he believes in, man.
Oh, he doesn't back up.
I love that, man.
Did you see this bullshit post that's going around?
Is it about you being a culture vulture?
No, is that going around?
Well, it should.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you're giving someone the idea. No, I was referring to this. Someone says this is Marky Mark's daily routine. Do you see this moving around?
Oh, yes. I've seen that before, though.
This
wakes
is
up at
fuckery.
Like 2 a.m. or some shit.
This is pure... I just want to say, this is pure bullshit.
Why?
Mark Wahlberg's daily routine. 2:30 a.m. wake up. All right. I just want to say off top, that's too far.
No, that's dumb.
That's already whatever else you have is fucking stupid, Mark.
Yeah.
2:30 is not when a human being should be waking up. I know it says AM. So like if you believe that AM means you need to be awake, I don't even understand. It says 2:30 wake up. 2:45 prayer time. So real quick, what's going on between 2:30 and 2:45?
What do you mean? Brush your teeth, like you got to stretch.
So
his alarm goes off 2:30.
Okay, but I feel like then we should fill in. If considering this whole thing's a lie anyway, can you fill in 2:30 to 2:45? Brush your teeth. you know, take your vitamins, whatever other Hulkamania bullshit you say you do. 2:45 prayer time. Okay. Uh-huh. 3:15 breakfast. So real quick, every day you're doing 2:45 to 3:15 in prayer.
Half an hour.
So like, I don't even think devout Muslims do a half an hour with each prayer.
No, Muslims, yo,
it's 15.
Bro, if that, everything Muslims do is fast, man.
Who's a devoted Muslim we can call?
Jamal.
All right, hold on. Does he pray?
What?
Oh, okay, perfect.
Rasan, too.
Thanks, Billy June.
Who's Rasan?
Bascom. Bascombi, as you would know. He's, let's see.
What's up, brother?
Hey, Jump Shot Jamal, it's Cypher Sounds in Rosenberg.
Holy shoot, I'm going to faint. What's up, brother?
Question for you. When you do your Muslim prayers, I guess that the only prayers you do are Muslim. When you do them, how long does it take?
Are you talking about the ones that I do 5 times a day?
That's right. Those? Like let's start with your morning prayer. How long is morning prayer?
Fajr is the shortest one. That's two rakats. So it depends on the surahs that you're reciting, right?
Okay.
So if you're reciting surahs that are extremely long, you could be in prayer for 15-20 minutes, right?
Okay.
If you're not doing that, then typically you probably finish making that prayer maybe 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
And what about your longest prayer of the day?
The longest prayer of the day, so there's three of them. There's two of them. There's the afternoon prayer, which is 4 rakats. Basically 4 up and downs.
And then
Isha is 4 rakats, right? 4 up and downs. And the same thing would apply there. If it's 4 rakats and you're doing regular onions, mayonnaise, if you're doing regular surahs, maybe those would take 10 minutes, 8 minutes.
Okay.
You know, green pepper, mayonnaise. I'm sorry, just getting a sandwich. Yeah.
I'm
ordering a sandwich when y'all call me.
Like you have little nicknames to remind you which brand.
The green peppers, mayonnaise.
No.
Wait. By the way, and what sandwich are you getting with green peppers and mayonnaise?
A steak sandwich.
Ooh, okay.
Where are you getting this sandwich from?
What'd you say?
Where are you getting this sandwich from?
I'm at Subway's, believe it or not.
I want to not believe that.
Yeah,
Subway's is the worst.
I don't hate Subway. It depends. Hey, Jamal.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What?
Remind me about the burger.
All right, I'll remind you about the burger. Jamal, thank you for this information. It's very helpful.
What are you guys doing, yo?
We're
talking about Mark Wahlberg's daily routine, and they say he wakes up at 2:30, and then he prays for 30 minutes.
And I said 30 minutes is a lot of time for a regular random white guy to pray, like just a Protestant wasp. 30 minutes feels like a lot of prayer.
No, he's got to be Catholic.
Oh, he's got to be Catholic, right?
Yeah. But here's the thing. Okay, so here's the other part. But what you have to realize, historically, that happens, right, is before we pray, you have to make wudu, which is basically a ritual of cleaning yourself. So, like, a shower without getting in the bath, for argument's sake, right? That's going to take you probably another 5 to 6 minutes. So, any prayer you're having, if you don't have wudu and you got to make wudu, and the things that would break wudu are, like, if you pass gas, if you use the bathroom, if you mess with any blood, anything that are kind of classified as unclean, right?
Mm.
If you do any of that, you got to make wudu before you pray. So that's going to tack on 5 minutes. So even though I'm telling you, shortest prayer might only take me 5 to 7. Oh, if you also sleep. Sleep is a cousin to death. So anytime you sleep, you got to get up and make wudu. You can't. Anytime you're going to sleep, you cannot just get up and pray.
So if you take a nap in the afternoon and you wake up from the nap, you now have to clean yourself before you pray?
Correct.
Wow.
Because again, that's the symbolism of that is like when you're praying, when you're sleeping, right? Your heart a lot of the time stops. It's the closest you are to death. So
especially if you're safe.
Sleep apnea.
That sleep apnea. It's 100 times a night he's almost dying.
Yeah. So when you're sleeping, can't just get up and pray. Got to perform that obligatory washing of your hands, basically your hands, your mouth, your nose, your hands, your arms, and then over your, you know, left or right foot. Wow. So basically you do that. That's going to take 5 to 7 minutes. So basically your prayers every single time are basically minimum of a 15-minute sacrifice basically each day, and with the longer ones, maybe 20.
Wow. Jamal, thank you. This has been very insightful. Thank you.
Oh, crazy, man. All right.
Enjoy your day.
We're going to talk tomorrow, right?
Yes. Tomorrow, it's official.
Okay, cool. All right, beautiful. Peace.
There he is.
All right, folks.
The great jump shot, Jamal.
Yeah, sharing a room with him on the road, ugh.
By the way, I didn't want to ask him because he was already getting into a lot of detail. But don't you ever just want to say, when is enough enough with the prayer? 5 times a day?
Nah, man. I'm joking around a lot. I mean, definitely when we're if we don't share a room much anymore, but once in a while we get thrown in the same room and he will interrupt a TV show or a movie. He starts moving around. I'm like, oh, here we go. He's going to go in the bathroom, wash up. There you go. Oh, he's on his app. He's finding Mecca. He's on his app.
Wait, what do you mean? You have to find Mecca on the app?
Yeah.
What do you mean? To face the right direction?
Yeah. You have to face Mecca when you pray. One time I was with Jamal, and we was in L.A., right? So he gets his phone out and finds his compass and finds east.
Yeah, to the east, my brother.
But then I'm like, I said, Jamal, I think from where we are in the world in Los Angeles, we're in lower Southern California. If you go directly east, I don't think you're hitting Mecca. And he's like, what do you mean? I got to pray to the east. I'm like, I know, but
you're
going to
end up below
Mecca,
it.
If you got to face Mecca, I'm sure it's more of a northeast.
It should be northeast.
Where we are.
Yes.
And he's like, he gets mad. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm like, just geography.
Right.
I think you might not be eye level with Mecca.
Right. We're not just west of Mecca. We're below it.
And he's like, well, how am I supposed to? I'm like, I'm sure there's an app that's not just a compass, but like, you know, and on a compass, north is the base. I'm sure there's an app where Mecca is the base. And he's getting mad at me, and he's searching the app store. He's like, oh, there is an app for this. And then, bro, so he downloads the app and then changes his position of his prayer. I was like, see? I told you.
So you were actually right. By the way, Mark Wahlberg is a devout Catholic.
Told you.
He said recently.
Hold on one second.
Sife has put us all on hold. He's
sorry.
Back.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
He's a devout Catholic. He converted, I think, later in life.
Converted to a devout Catholic.
Let's hear what it says here. Here's a video of him talking about it. Let's hear. What's this
from? You were a brawler. You got in. You were a coke addict at sort of 13, 14. Easy. You got into gang stuff. Just about everything imaginable. And then you had almost what looks like from the outside to be this kind of huge epiphany. As you say, coming from that prison experience, you were very lucky you met this Catholic priest who guided you. Mm-hmm. But tell me about what was going through your mind, because for a lot of people, going to prison becomes the start of the rest of their lives and is not pretty. Mm-hmm. How did you manage, do you think, to make that break, to get out of that culture?
Well, I had to make the choice personally, and then I had to focus on my faith. And my faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy, especially when you've got, you know, your back against the wall and you've got a lot going against you. But I wanted to prove to people through my actions, not my words, that I was going to change and that I was going to make a positive impact on the community that I come from. And that's why I do so much youth work and, you know, with our foundation and with Inner City Kids and partnering with Taco Bell and the Red.
I'm laughing at the timing of him saying partnering with Taco Bell.
Love it.
I love that.
Love it.
Anyways, all Mark, right. That's a nice story. But at the same time, this list is still bullshit. So, 2:30 wake up, 2:45 prayer time, 3:15 breakfast, 3:40 workout, 5:30 post-workout meal. So you're telling me your 3:40 a.m. workout is almost 2 hours long?
I'm assuming there's a trainer. Got to be a trainer involved, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I would think so. Although, I mean, maybe if this is your everyday and it's in your house, maybe he doesn't need one. He knows his routine.
He knows how to do it, yeah.
5:30 post-workout meal, 6:30 shower. So he finishes the workout and sits down for an hour meal unshowered?
Yep.
It's a long unshowered meal post-workout. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would like, shouldn't it be like, he's wasting time here. He could easily just have a bar. Okay. 6:30 shower.
Also, you're sitting down unshowered for an hour.
Right.
Wake up at 3. I already saved you a half hour. Wake up at 3.
Right.
Because why you? Who? Your family's not up eating breakfast.
No, no one's
with you.
Right. So,
oh, so it's not even breakfast. This is after workout meal.
Post workout meal.
What is this? A shake? A protein shake?
All it's no. Oh, because breakfast is 3:15.
Right.
Before the workout.
Is that a full breakfast?
I don't know.
You got your fucking maid down. Your cook down there making you steak and eggs.
So post workout meal, 5:30, 6:30 shower. 7:30 golf. So real quick, 6:30 to 7:30 shower. So you should include whacking off in here too, because clearly that's happening. That's clearly part of the shower that you're leaving out. An hour. Now here's the question: 7:30
hour. It's just because it's 7:30 is golf.
7:30 is golf. But here's the question, Saif: 8 o'clock snack. What golf are you playing from 7:30 to 8?
Maybe he's just driving range.
Like he just has a screen in his house and he's just hitting golf balls.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. It could be in the backyard. Like it could just be, yeah, like the screen.
Yeah, or downstairs in his like man cave.
Yeah.
So golf, 7:30, 8 o'clock snack.
Yeah.
9:30 cryo recovery. 10:30 snack. By the way, you need to have an 8 o'clock snack, cryo recovery,
yeah, so
and then another snack.
Those guys are all into that metabolism. So you got to keep eating to get your metabolism. It's like a tiny snack. Might be a handful of
nuts.
Of nuts or something. But it's to keep the metabolism going.
11:30, family time.
What? Where's your... Are they not in school?
Yeah, hold on. How old are Mark Wahlberg's kids?
No, see, that's what I'm saying. This is old because I've seen this for years.
This has been around for a long time, right?
This is when his kids were like 2 and 3. So, like, at 11:30, he could go hang out with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because his kids, his 4 children.
It's Catholic. You don't believe in birth control.
Let's see here. His kids have to be of school age now.
Yeah.
Wow, do you know on his Wikipedia page, it says Wahlberg was booked to fly on American Airlines Flight 11 on September 11th, but his plans changed the day before?
Yeah, that's somebody else was with him too. Was it Leo?
Wow, really?
I think Judd Apatow also. I think there's people that like they got drunk the night before.
And then didn't take the flight?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right, sorry. So where was I? Cryotherapy and then snacks?
I thought you were looking up his children.
I couldn't find their age. Family time, 11:30. 1 o'clock lunch. 3 o'clock snack. I mean, you have to have lunch and snack back to back. 4 o'clock, workout 2. 5 o'clock shower. Oh, so your second workout's only an hour, pussy. 5:30 dinner. 7:30 bedtime. This is it's horse shit, Saif.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
I'm sorry.
Why not shift all these things?
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Is he's asleep by 8? Is that what it's saying? He's asleep by 8?
It says 7:30 bed.
And then that's it? That's the end of it?
Yeah, that's it.
No way.
He didn't include anything after going to bed.
This is not real. No meetings. This is if he's home with no work.
I guess. because it really makes zero sense.
He doesn't do that on the road.
Totally unfucking reasonable. So, Saif, how was your week?
Yo, let me tell you something. Have you seen the commercial for the Arby's new burger?
Oh, Saif, reminder. Talk to me about the burger.
Did you see the commercial for Arby's new burger?
No.
This means nothing, but I'm going to say it anyway. First of all, I was watching a documentary. You know those, on what channel was that? History Channel or something. It was like they had like you ever seen the men who built this country, something like that? Like, you ever watch that?
No.
It's like about Rockefeller and Carnegie.
Not Rockefeller. Like, Rockefeller.
Rockefeller. Rockefeller, right. Carnegie, and the guys who built the railroads and the steel mills and all that shit. So,
is this the Wagyu burger?
Yes, but the second I seen another version of that same show, it's like the men who built America, but it's like the guys who built fast food. So, first of all, it was really fascinating. You know who Dave Thomas is, right?
The founder of Wendy's.
Dave Thomas is the genius behind Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Wow.
He invented the bucket. He invented the combo meals. He bought it from.
He invented the combo meal?
The combo meals. Wow. He bought it from Colonel Sanders, but kept Colonel Sanders as the face. All that shit. And then he got jerked from his company. So that's when he left and started and created Wendy's. So anyway, whatever. It's just whatever. It's fascinating. But then they showed the Arby's guys. And they try to battle the burgers by creating the roast beef sandwich, which was harder and more expensive and harder to make. But they were like trying to be more premium. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Fine. That was in the fucking 60s, I think. Or whatever it was. 50s, 60s. Bro, got it. You try to be different. For the last, let's say, 30 years, everything has changed. Fast food is the way of the world. America's built on fast food. Blah, blah, blah. Why aren't you doing a fucking burger? Like, when you drive across country, you pull up, the only thing there is an Arby's. I don't want a goddamn roast beef sandwich. Why did it take you so long? I understand the foundation of your company. That's done.
It's done.
How have you not had a burger yet? My wife's cousin owned an Arby's in Texas for a while. So he used to take us to the Arby's, actually like her cousin's husband. He took us to the Arby's and just was like, yeah, just take whatever you want. And I was like, oh, do you guys have burgers? He's like, no, we don't make burgers. I'm like, oh, you still on that shit?
So I feel we should click on this video. It looks like a news special. It's called Weird Arby's Guy, and it has 8 million views. I feel like we should watch it.
Check it out.
I feel like this is something we should watch. What were you about to say?
I'm just saying, you get what I'm saying, right?
Not only do I get what you're saying, but I recently tried it because Natalie likes Arby's, and they had the commercial for the new chicken tender things. So we stopped by, and I had my first ever Arby's.
Yeah.
It's very hard living in New York and then trying like a roast beef sandwich from Arby's.
No, don't get the roast beef.
Or whatever I got. Reuben. I got a Reuben. I'm like, this isn't.
No, no.
What am I supposed to get? That's what you get there.
No. Yeah, if you're not from New York, that's what you get.
What do you get if you're from New York?
Chicken, fish, like, I mean, it's crazy.
All right, let's watch this. Here we go.
Just live, and Julie, what happened out there?
Well, Dave and Glenda, they just finished boarding up the window pane and part of the wall here. This is a very busy Arby's. It sits right here in Woodward in Royal Oak near 13 Mile Road. So as you can imagine, there are quite a few people inside at the time.
The big window went pop, and it was just glass everywhere. That was the loudest bang I had ever heard. It sounded like an explosion.
I thought perhaps the end of days was upon us, but it turned out it was just a disoriented old lady in a champagne-colored Toyota Avalon crashing into my world like DMB circa 1996. Who's got their claws in you, my friend? Into your heart, I'll beat again.
Just before 2 p.m., an elderly woman drove into the side of the restaurant while trying to park her car.
I turned around. A little old lady had stepped on the gas instead of the brake and ran into the restaurant.
She hit three people who were sitting down and eating inside. They were thrown 8 to 10 feet.
I saw their bodies tossed skyward like ragdolls thrown into the air by the late great Andre the Giant. I don't know. They appeared to be weightless, hitting zero G like the fearless crew of a forgotten Apollo mission, whose only objective was to obtain a beef and cheddar classic and return home to Kathleen Quinlan safe before sundown. I don't know. Part of me wishes I'd been hit by that car instead, so I could have gotten out of work early and gone far, far away from shift manager Masha's judging emerald eyes. No, I didn't wash my shirt in between shifts, Masha. So what if I smell like roast beef? This whole place smells like roast beef.
The fire department transported
Wait, hold on, this can't be real.
And tell us that the man and two women were in their third.
Someone dubbed it in, right?
It's not real. It's not real, bro.
But
it can't be.
It can't be real. It has to be that someone made that and people.
Bro, nothing is real anymore, man. It's too, you can do anything now. You can do anything.
That has to be the beginning of a fake news.
I mean, listen. It's not real. It's still funny.
Very funny. Cypher, so we talked about the important issues, obviously, affecting America this week. Top Gun, Maverick, The Dream, Mark Wahlberg's schedule, which has been out for maybe 10 years. The new Arby's burger.
Yeah. Good show, man. Catch you later.
Yeah, I think we covered everything there
was. Oh, what's up? Wait, are you about to get into something?
No, I well,
what's okay?
No, go ahead, please.
What's up with this J. Cole basketball shit?
I don't know. I heard he's going to play in Canada or something.
I saw him playing.
He loves playing basketball, this guy.
But what is it? Is it like the minor league or basketball or something? Or oh, it's Canadian league.
It's a Canadian league.
Okay, so it's like the NBA of Canada.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be strong.
What do you mean? Is it a what other leagues are there?
I just think it's. I think comparing it to the NBA is a reach. Is all I'm saying. I think it's. I'm sure it's good basketball.
That's the business model of it.
Oh, let me see. Canadian. Oh, it's the CB. It's the CBA.
Is that what is that?
I think that's what it's called. No, Canadian basketball. CBL, Canadian Basketball League.
Okay. What would you compare that to?
Oh, J. Cole, Scarborough Shooting Stars debut.
Okay.
He already played?
Yeah. I saw him. I saved it.
You know, I used to spend a lot of time in Scarborough.
Why is that?
That's where my ex lived.
Yep. Always because of a girl.
Isn't it typical with me? Going to Brazil.
Well, I was thinking about changing the name of the podcast to Natalie Said.
I know. Listen, I am who I am. I am who I am. But by the way.
I called the show Natalie Said.
No, well, Natalie, it should be called Well Natalie. Because it's not always that she said something. Sometimes it's like, right. Well, Natalie likes Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Well, Natalie, I think Well Natalie is the way to go. All right, let's check out J. Cole. Here's J. Cole. You ready?
The post, skip pass to the corner. Cole for three. And Jermaine Cole is on the board in the CEBL with his first three CEBL points as the Guelph crowd appreciates that.
I love this, nice bro.
I mean, do you hear that? But do you hear the? Let me watch it again.
Skip pass to the corner. Cole for three. Jermaine Cole is on the board in the CEBL.
The commentator dude sounds. It sounds very, like kind of like a college kid doing that. No,
I don't know. I don't know what any of this means. I don't know the different degrees of leagues. I don't know if NBA is so much better than blah blah blah. Whatever, whatever. Is this the equivalent of like a dude playing like going overseas?
Yes.
Like when there's a kid who's really good at basketball, but he doesn't get in the NBA, so he goes plays in fucking Czech Republic or some shit.
Okay, yes, that's not inaccurate.
That's along the lines of what we're saying.
That's right.
I fucking love this, that this guy loves basketball so much.
Of course you love this.
He wants to play for real, that he stopped what he was doing, whatever his life is, and went and tried something different. Congratulations. Bravo.
To Jermaine.
Don't let society tell you what you can and can't do, because you do one thing really well and now you can't do anything else. Fuck that. Live your life.
Wow. You hear that, Syph? You hear yourself? You know what you sound like right now?
What do I sound like?
Special was hand to all my. There's. Can I make an argument right now?
Yeah.
That's the worst rap song ever made. can I just say this right here? That should have been stopped the second the sample played once. Someone should have come in like, nah, fuck that.
What are you doing in there?
What are you guys doing? Oh, we're just thinking we're going to sample. What is that sample, by the way? It's even worse, I think, when you know what the sample is. Hold on. Let's see. Who is it? Liv. Cypher, this is the era of you and I on the radio, too. Ugh. We had to play this a lot. Here we go. Live Your Life contains a sample of Ozone Dragon's Tea Dinte.
Of course.
You knew that? You truly never know what you're going to get with this program. Here we go. So it's this? Someone thought that was a good idea.
Who brought that in?
Who said
we brought that in?
We need to flip this.
Who produced that song?
When I was growing up, that was like the viral tick. Like now they have like viral TikTok song dances to songs.
Yeah.
That was the song that like people dance to and put on YouTube.
Got it. Oh, the original.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's why they sampled it. So I remember when that came out, I was like, holy shit, this is fucking weird.
So you would pull it up on YouTube and dance to it?
Or download it and people would do dances and shit.
Do you think we need more help on this podcast, Billy? You think we need a booker?
Oh, my God. Yes, we do need a booker. By the way, safe.
Do you think we should have booked Jim Jones and Mano this week?
The Lobby Boys?
They released an album. They're both friends of they're like very good friends of the show.
Well, why are you scolding Billy June now out of nowhere?
Not scolding Billy June. I'm saying I think it's time to grow. I think we need help.
We also need to have a scheduled time, and every day is different, and it's hard to schedule a booking.
Well, you could always ask. We could always just talk about it.
No, that one is not related to the other at all.
We could still.
It's very disorganized.
It's very disorganized. So
you're saying it's hard to book guests because we change what day. Yeah, I think that's just a conversation.
Hollywood Jr. and it took forever because of schedules, and we canceled and rescheduled a few times.
Yeah, that's part of booking. That's just normal part of booking life.
I know. I book other things. I booked you on something, and then you had to bail, and I had to find somebody quickly.
Unrelated. The song is produced by.
It's difficult to book.
The song is produced by. Just Blaze.
Ooh. I do remember that now. Now that you say that, I remember that.
Do you think he'd be mad at us if we just asked him, like, why? Why'd you do
no,
this?
No, let's call him.
Call him
right now.
It's Memorial Day.
Call him.
All right, you're doing it. You're talking to him.
Call him.
It did really well. Made a lot.
The wireless customer you are calling is not available. Please try again later.
How do you make your phone do that? I want to do that.
I feel like it's a button you can push that's like, there's like a go fuck this person button.
Yeah.
So like when my name pops up, he was like, get the fuck out of here. And I get a doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Because his name, it didn't say his number is not right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's a setting. I would like to know that setting. Maybe it's only on like you, Verizon or something.
You want to say go fuck yourself to other people?
I want that to be when Billy calls me to say that.
When Billy, you know what? When I have a new ringtone whenever Billy calls me, it's this.
Hey. It's special what's happening to all my soldiers over there in Iraq.
Maybe, let me let it play a little longer. Maybe it's better.
What you need to do is be thankful for the life you got, you know what I'm saying? Stop looking at what you ain't got. Start being thankful for what you do got. Let's get it to him, baby girl. Hey. Okay. That's right. Okay.
Oh, it gets better when they take the sample out. It's not terrible when it gets to that
remember
part.
Remember he did the Wayne and Eminem song, which was like the other real like
oh
house
my
music
God.
Thing.
What is love? He did that.
But he flipped it though. He did. I like that song a lot. He flipped it really well.
I have trouble with it still. He did this?
Yeah.
I mean, I still have mixed feelings. I wouldn't have used that part.
Yeah. Throw dirt on me and grow a wildflower. But it's fuck the world. Get a child louder. Yeah, my life a bitch, but you know nothing about her. Been to hell and back. I can show you vouchers. I'm rolling sweets, I'm smoking sour. Married to the game, but she broke her vows. That's why my bars are full.
No. He did a good job flipping it. Like, it's not just Blaze not doing it properly. The song is flipped in a way that he made it. I'll say this. Hear me out, Cypher.
Yeah.
He made it the Eminem Wayne one as he flipped it as well as you could flip it. I just can't hear the don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more in a rap song.
I feel you, but Wayne and M did go in on that.
And what really bothers me is when my man Alex Toussaint on Peloton, when he decides to play that song on Peloton, I'm like, bro, who's getting hyped? I don't get hyped to this.
No, Peloton is not for us.
But it's my favorite. It's the most consistent I've been with an exercise thing, though.
No. The exercise is fine. The music
is not
programming is not for us.
I get really annoyed. So as a DJ, I feel like Peloton. And by the way, I if you want to follow me and see how little I work out, I'm Peter from Maryland. Peter from MD on Peloton. You as a DJ, I feel like offended that these people haven't like had a lesson. Like they should bring in a few DJs.
DJ musical supervisor type of person.
Yeah, bring in someone, you know, a Cypher Sounds, a DJ Camillo.
Yeah.
Someone who goes, hey, let me explain to you guys something called, wait for it, it's called vibe.
Yeah.
Because they
agree.
Switch sometimes. They're in one place and I'm like, okay. They hit the next one. I'm like, okay, this is work. And then they just go.
They have no idea of tempo, energy, like categories, none of that.
Nothing.
Shit.
Like, I think people don't.
It's just songs they like.
Like, there's multiple ways to DJ. And, like, I admit, as I'm not a great DJ, but so I operate in an organizational way. It's like I follow artists, I follow time period, I follow a producer, whatever it may be. But I'm following something. Now, there are really good DJs like a Cypher Sounds who it doesn't have to be that thematic. He can just follow feel and tempo, and that will do it. But you have to follow something.
No, it's feel with me. Like, I struggle DJing because the songs have to match this vibe. They have to match.
And you want the match.
I know a good record that can transition from this to this, but it's three songs away and I got to get to it. It's DJ for me. I'm love on the spectrum when it comes to DJ.
What? What does that mean?
Because it's never that enjoyable as I want it to be, because I am focused on making sure the vibe and the feeling is right.
And to the point that it can ruin the whole thing.
The fun that I'm having.
Right,
not the
right, right.
The party's going great.
Party people loving it.
Going
to two,
and they don't one. And they don't know why they love it so much.
Right. But the actual vibe for you, not as fun.
Not as fun, no.
Now, Cypher, do you think we should switch over to Patreon?
Yeah, because we've already given them a chock full of info on this version.
I mean, they've gotten so many great bits of info in this. Think about all the subjects. Now, I don't want to go too intense here and be upsetting, but should we, I kind of feel like we need to talk about the events of last week.
Oh.
Like, how do we not talk about it at all?
And that's what you want to do on Patreon?
I guess you're right. Who wants to pay for that?
Talk about it here and then go to Patreon.
It's just so crazy. Like, news happened that was big enough this week that it feels legitimately like, I can't say the world changed or anything because probably nothing changed. But an event so big happened that it feels like sort of there's a before and after. I'm not saying that will actually be reflected in policy change or this not happening anymore, but it did feel like,
bro.
Did you agree? It felt like a sort of epic. I felt nothing.
I felt nothing.
You felt the exact
because
same.
I felt nothing.
Right.
I felt nothing because I have not been paying. I've by accident have heard a couple of details, but when I tell you I've been staying away from it because it's so disturbing, I'm out of the loop where I know, and I don't envy you at all. That has to be in the fucking loop.
Well, listen, I can't knock you because who wants to be there? And you have children.
Bro, I can't even. That shit is so devastating to even listen to, man.
Isn't it crazy that, like, I don't think this happened before Columbine.
Columbine was the first.
Like, it happened once.
But there's, like, an underground world where people are into that. Is that what it is? They're, like, do they talk about this somewhere on the dark web or something? Like, is this...
I know
it's going to happen?
I know, because you're trying to figure out, okay, you're angry, you're miserable, you're not well. All of those things I get.
And I feel for you.
No, and I feel for you. And we need to do a better job helping people like that, obviously. But I'm just trying to understand. I'm just trying to understand why the expression of pain and anger would ever go to, yo, I need to murder these kids. Like,
yeah.
Listen, it's crazy enough to be like, I'm going to go out and start a fight tonight, you know? Or whatever that thing may be. But like, I just am trying to understand where in your sickness, how you would go from feeling sad, feeling angry, feeling hurt, wanting the world to know that you're hurt, right? Because that's obviously a piece of it. Wanting the world to feel you're hurt.
Right.
But that could then be like, I'm okay with murdering children.
But wanting the world to feel you're hurt, wanting the world to see that you're hurt, but then getting killed?
Right. What's the win there?
What? Because then you don't know that they're even feeling it, nor are they. No one feels bad for you after that. You're not going to get any sympathy, any love, unless that's what I'm saying. is there a weird underground world where you do get love for that? But you're dead, so you're not getting it anyway.
Right, but where these people are heralded and they think like, ooh, I wanna be heralded in that world. I don't know. But like, yo, bro, I went on the next morning in our first break on the air on Wednesday, Laura started crying pretty hard.
Yeah.
Then on the K show that evening, Michael's open to the show. He was crying hard. And I was incredibly affected by it all, but I will say there's a numbness that I have to it, in the sense of like, seeing as I don't see them doing anything to change it, it's like,
yeah, that's how I feel.
It's just going to be another day, another hashtag, another trending city, X city you've never heard of, now trending. Yeah. And the same horrible stories. Now, the crazy thing is, though, the details keep getting worse, because they had the press conference the other day where the police gave the entire timeline. Did you see any of that by accident?
I saw I just saw where the guy said he made a mistake or he was wrong, the sheriff or whatever.
So they were in the school for like 45 minutes while it was going on.
Oh no, that's crazy.
And they were waiting for more. They were waiting for more backup and equipment.
No, that's crazy. He. Oh, see, why are you doing this, man? First of all, if I'm a cop, I'm going straight rogue. I'm going rogue. I'm throwing on the. If I gotta die, so that 19 kids don't, like, bro, that's what it is.
I can't believe. Saif, they ended up.
There's not three cops. I go, yo, you don't fuck this, sergeant. We're going in. Right? Then all you, Texas, no disrespect. I like a lot of parts of you, but you talk about guns so much. One of my favorite movies is Hell Have No Fury. Hell Hath No Fury. You ever seen that movie?
No.
These two brothers rob banks to whatever. It's a long story. But anyway, they rob this one bank. I think it's in Texas. And they come outside and there's four dudes in a pickup with their guns out because they heard someone was robbing the bank. Why is that not happening, right? All these parents, all these people in Texas, all this gun talk, they don't fucking go in there and rush this shit.
Saif, listen to this story, okay? An Uvalde mother said she was handcuffed and nearly arrested while imploring law enforcement to enter Robb Elementary School. Angeli Rose Gomez told the Wall Street Journal that she and many other parents were waiting outside the Texas school, encouraging law enforcement to act as a gunman raged inside. As her calls grew more urgent, she said, U.S. Marshals handcuffed her and told her she was being arrested for intervening in an active investigation. She persuaded local Uvalde police officers she knew to free her, before jumping the school fence, running inside to grab her two children and sprinting out with them.
Yeah.
The police were doing nothing, she said. They were just standing outside the fence. They weren't going in there or running anywhere. A spokesperson.
So she jumped the fence and grabbed her kids?
She went and got her kids.
I fucks with her.
I know.
I fucks with her. Well, I would be finding every which way to get into these fucking into that school if my kids were in there.
Dude, how about this? Do you guys think that maybe we have a problem with the laws around guns if any person can buy weapons so destructive that police officers are scared to go battle them? Is that a problem? Like,
and the cops have the same guns.
The cops have, they should have everything you would think. And yet what they have is so dangerous that I think they said it was as many, the number got up to as many as like 20 cops there waiting to go in while it's happening. It just continued on.
How are they waiting? How are they winning?
I know, and then
I don't understand.
And then the dude speaking, the spokesman, he was like, listen, that was a mistake. They obviously should have went in. In a situation like this, you don't wait. You go. You go. He basically said what you said. The answer is to go rogue. You go in. That's just what you do. But like, it's so sickening.
Bro, you never fucking watch these movies where that, or even an episode of Blue Bloods where Donnie Wahlberg's like, I'm going in. Give me a vest. I'm going in. You know what I mean? Like, three cops. None of those cops were like military trained and didn't fucking like, listen. We know what this is. Let's go in through the fucking backside door. Like, did they know where he was? Is that what they're saying? Like,
yeah, no, I think they
happened
did
in one classroom, right?
I think it was in two classrooms.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there. I can't, maybe I don't know all the details, but I don't understand how like three guys were like, fuck this, man. Let's go in. We're going to get fired. Good. Please fire me from this job that's making me not go in. I'd rather go be a fucking truck driver than let this happen on my watch. We know what's going to happen. We know what's going
to
happen.
Federal agents entered Uvalde's school to kill gunmen despite local police initially asking them to wait. Two senior federal law enforcement officials said the federal agents decided after about 30 minutes not to wait any longer and entered the school to find Salvador Ramos. Yo, they had mad people there.
So the feds went in.
Eventually,
I guess the local cops were too close to it because a lot of their friends and kids are in there.
Is that what
they
it
were
is?
Too close. But what else could it be? I have to assume that's what it is. Bro, she went in and got her kids.
How crazy is that?
How is she the only one that did that? No, there were some cops who did that too, right?
Well, I mean, the cops were trying to like hold people, not let
people
get
in.
No,
I heard there were some cops that went in and got their kids.
Really?
Yeah. That was like one of the first stories I heard. There was a couple cops that went in, got their kids, and then brought them out.
CNN headline says, police failed to act quickly in Uvalde. Experts say their inaction allowed for the massacre to continue and led to catastrophic consequences.
Ugh. Yeah, man, that's a rough one, bro.
An hour?
That's a rough one.
And by the way, he shot for 12 minutes outside of the school before he went in.
What?
12 minutes outside.
What do you mean? Shot where?
He was shooting at people. He got engaged by officers outside before he went in the school.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
He exchanged fire with police outside. And then he went in and then they waited.
No way. No, my brain's not going to accept this.
Right.
Something's going on. Something's going on. How could that be?
You know what's even worse?
Please
go ahead. Talk about it, Billy.
He went to school in that school district, and he was taught how to do all the precautions, so he knew what to do to go against everything they were hiding and doing.
Oh, like because he grew up. He's only 18, so they've been doing all those drills, right?
He just knew what to do to go against everything they were doing.
By the way, not that it would have been, I'm sure, that hard anyway. I mean, how hard is it?
I mean, it's elementary school, so yeah, these kids, they don't know what's going on.
And the crazy thing is, man, like people really think the answer. I saw it. Like I saw someone I know post about it. Really believe the answer is to arm all the schools and teachers. That's the key.
Why is school not fully secure with security guards? I'm not talking about minimum wage, old, fat, white guys that are retired from whatever. Like, I'm talking about security.
Well, in this case, he was met by an armed security guard.
And what?
And he was wearing bullet. I think he was wearing armor. Did he have armor on?
I think he did.
Either way, he engaged the officer.
How did he get in?
How much security could he have?
If he was outside for 12 minutes. If he's outside for 12 minutes, how could he get in? What's happening? Why are the doors not locked? You never watched Lean on Me? When fucking Morgan Freeman put the chains around the doors?
Right.
It's crazy.
I can't.
12 minutes is a long time, bro. Let me tell you something. I've been around gunshots a lot in my hip hop DJ days. I don't stick around. Me and Kev was like, "Yo, we out. We out, bro. We'll hear about this later." I don't stick around, man. I'm out of here.
I don't understand how that wasn't. I just don't get it.
There was another shooting yesterday in Tennessee at a mall.
Well, what gets me so frustrated is the answer of guns don't kill people, people kill people. Okay, so is your suggestion that we get rid of humans? Because you're right. You are correct. It is humans operating the guns. Unwell humans operating the guns. But we can't know everyone who's unwell. Even if we improved our mental health stuff in this country 100-fold, you wouldn't be able to manage everybody with mental health issues. So my thought just goes then, okay, well, how can we limit the guns?
You can't keep track of everybody, even if it's obvious.
And it's bullshit. And it's bullshit that when we say that, they make it sound like I'm making a political statement. It's not fucking political. I get the fuck out of here with that even being, with guns even being politics. It's politics if I start arguing whether or not anyone has the right to a weapon. That's the amendment, which, by the way, I just want everyone to know, the Second Amendment was not created by God. Okay, it was humans who created this. We act as if it was divine, as if the Lord came down and was like, "Thou shall have guns."
You have no problem. You have no problem going back on the RV Wade shit on Roe versus Wade.
No,
that's fine. We could go back on that, but we can't go fix the Second Amendment.
No, it has to, because Sife, it's important. People need to be able to protect themselves against the military. That's. In case militia comes after you, you got to be able to make sure you have your assault weapons, because you'll be able to take out the U.S. Army just in case you want to fight back. And that's where I run into problems with people like Killer Mike or many others from all sides who say, no, I need weapons. As long as the government has weapons, I need weapons. Okay, good luck. You go have your fight with the government. I hope you win. Fucking guns.
Nah, man, there's something else. It's the guns. I agree. I agree with that people should have guns. I also agree there's a lot of mental health issues. I agree with all those things. Mm-hmm. There's some dark world somewhere where all this school shooting, there's like, where's the forum for school shooters and mass shooters? Like, where's the underground sub-level dark web world where this is like talked about and planned? And is it, you know what I mean? Like, are all these people just acting alone? Like,
no, they're online somewhere.
They have
somewhere,
to be,
right? Reddit, there's a group for everything.
Reddit is big on that kind of stuff.
There's a group for everything. So there's got to be a group for these people.
The subway shooter in New York was posting shit online. No one even found it or figured it out for however long.
Posting it where?
On YouTube.
Oh, God.
His rants and his... And now he's best friends with R. Kelly in jail.
Sorry?
I read a whole article about it.
That's
what is it? What did you just say?
The subway shooter and R. Kelly. I read that too. I saw headlines that they became friends.
What subway shooter? Which one?
The one...
Mauricio.
Not to kill the one guy recently.
No, the one.
The one that's killed like seven people.
The one that went to Katz's and all that before they called himself in.
What do you mean he's friends with R. Kelly?
There's an article that they have coffee together every morning and they have become best friends in jail.
That's the story.
And in my brain, I'm like, who figured this out and then gave it to the press?
I'm not in the mood to laugh right now.
Well, hold on. You're not in the mood to laugh, but let me just show you something. Here you go, Sive. Take a look here.
R. Kelly befriends suspect in Brooklyn. Where's R. Kelly locked up?
I think
he's here.
Is he
in New York?
I guess he's here.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't joking.
The behind bars bromance, it says in quotes. It began at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Sunset Park.
R. Kelly's in Brooklyn.
The disgraced R&B singer is awaiting sentencing after being found guilty in his federal sex trafficking and racketeer case.
All this time, R. Kelly's been in Brooklyn?
Yep.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Why? You want to try again for one app? Guys, sorry. Sorry we had to go dark there. That had to be talked about. I'm just...
All right, we'll see you guys later. Thanks for joining us.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.